Hello, Seamus Cooney.
Good to talk to you, Catherine.
Oh, goodness me. Let's begin with the Brexit talks reaching a pivotal stage, but of course, right as COVID is in the thick of a second wave. How are leaders dealing with this?
Well, Catherine, yes, these talks were difficult enough already, weren't they? Months and months, such a lack of progress. London and Brussels really just looking so far apart when it comes to what their post-Brexit trade and their security arrangements might look like. And now actually throw into this the curse of COVID, I call it. A member of the EU team testing positive, also the chief EU negotiator Michel Barnier going into isolation. A nail in the coffin, many said, with those direct face-to-face talks actually suspended on Thursday. But we do have virtual online discussions taking place, we're told. Many said no way is the virtual going to help save these talks before the deadline, which for many really has to be this week, Catherine, if there's going to be enough time for it to come into force before the end of the Brexit transition period. And of course, that's New Year's Eve. And what are the chances of there being a deal and not this crashing out of the bloc that so many are worried about in terms of the economic damage? Well, actually, we have optimistic assessments, but also gloomy warnings that time is fast running out. Such a long way to go, even though we are hearing some signs of progress. Increasing talk of progress in some of the key areas, but also, as I say, warnings of what some are actually describing this weekend as the risk of an accidental no deal in 6 weeks' time. So perhaps there's the will, but just not enough time. And on that note, actually, it's worth noting France, Belgium, the Netherlands, among the countries calling on the European Commission to actively work on that emergency plan they talked about in case those negotiations fail. But as I say, the EU Commission president giving this cause for optimism, talking about progress in the talks, but she was the one, this is Ursula von der Leyen, who insisted there's still a lot of work to be done to get to that finish line.
And just as an aside on the complications of doing things this way, there are security matters as well. You've got on your Twitter feed a story about a journalist who managed to sort of bust a confidential online video conference.
Yes, I love the story. This was a Dutch journalist, gate-crashed, a secret online meeting of European Union defence ministers, online, of course, due to COVID. It actually caused a laugh for many when the reporter, there was great, you see him in the video there, smiling and waving as he enters this virtual summit. But then he quickly leaves when he's told that actually it's a criminal act and the police might arrive. But it does, as you say, really raise some serious questions about security in this time of COVID. Actually, details of this meeting were mistakenly put up on Twitter, apparently by one of the attendees, along with enough of the PIN code to guess the rest. So I suppose, you know, four out of the five numbers, you can guess between one and nine. But I'm sure there'll be probes into the reporter and also presumably the minister or the official who may have actually been behind that tweet. Quite extraordinary.
We may be into a new era of transparency one way or another. Now, the lockdowns, it's again, you know, really bad second waves happening throughout Europe and, of course, particularly the United States. What is the strategy now? And is there a united strategy?
Well, it does seem that it's quite mixed. I mean, you look at some countries like France, here in France and the UK, they've gone for the, you know, back to the lockdown option, severe restrictions in place. We know that Portugal today, for example, just announced there are going to be some more restrictions, tough restrictions. Domestic travel, for example, over the next few weeks will be banned in some parts. Around actually two upcoming holidays in Portugal. Also, schools are going to be closed around those moments. But in fact, what we have is quite a few countries now starting to talk about the Christmas period. What are we going to do? The French president, for example, he's going to look at easing our restrictions here. We're now into a month-long long lockdown. Some of the media are reporting he's going to announce on Tuesday night an easing of the lockdown in three stages leading up to Christmas, because, of course, everyone's complaining, saying, you know, we have to get together for Christmas. And what about the economy? What about the Christmas shopping? But on top of all of that, and, you know, other countries are also looking at easing their lockdowns in the UK, for example, as well, I see there today. But Europe still getting this warning. And this is a warning this weekend from the World Health Organization, their COVID envoy, saying that, you know, Europe really does face a serious risk of a third wave of the pandemic early next year if these restrictions are eased too fast. The WHO official there also talking about criticizing the bloc, saying that since the summer, after the first lockdowns were in place, really not enough has been done to build up the infrastructure, as he called it. And by this, we think he means tracking and tracing, managed isolation, for example. We know this weekend in Italy and in the north of Italy, they actually had mass testing carried out. They found 2,000 or 3,000 cases, and tonight the officials are talking about managed isolation, or perhaps we can talk about forced isolation, talking about even, you know, taking over hotels, putting those people into the hotels until they're actually, becoming negative. So a lot of debate going on. It's going to be interesting to see how the individual countries react to this warning from the WHO, and this enormous pressure from the public. Christmas coming up, the cafes, the restaurants closed, and the enormous damage to the economy. Unemployment rates just absolutely going through the roof. Quite a dilemma for so many countries.
Just a minute left to reflect on the fact that the former French president is in court on corruption charges. I'm speaking of Nicolas Sarkozy. How will this unfold?
Yes, Catherine, and actually it's quite historic. This is the first time that a former French president will appear in court on corruption charges. We know the ex-president Jacques Chirac was charged, convicted for embezzlement a number of years ago, but he actually never did appear in court due to ill health. Sarkozy accused of attempting to actually bribe a judge. He denies that. And this, they claim to get information about another investigation that he faced. He's actually facing several probes. A lawyer and the judge in question also due to appear on the dock. So that's starting tomorrow, Monday here. Sarkozy also facing probes into claims that he accepted money from the late Libyan leader Gaddafi to fund his 2007 presidential campaign. And then another investigation claiming that he illegally, charge sheet goes, fraudulently overspent in his unsuccessful bid for the presidency, and that was in 2012. So, of course, there are questions about COVID and all of this, because we know the trial is due to start tomorrow, but will there be some kind of special procedure put in place because of COVID? Could it be via video conference, for example? That'll be revealed tomorrow.
Thank you very much, as always. Seamus Cooney, our Europe correspondent, he is in Lyon.